Why is Gen Z and Alpha making teachers quit? The education system is driving teachers away. On top of being underpaid and undervalued, they have to deal with students who constantly disrespect and hate them, as if it is their responsibility to discipline these children. School kids coming out of the pandemic are so violent, they're even sending these teachers to the hospital. One of them was recorded pepper spraying their teacher because she didn't want him to take her phone. A 15-year-old girl from Georgia received a one-year sentence at the youth detention center for brutally beating her teacher. The poor woman had to walk with crutches after that. The teenager lost it when the teacher tried to take her phone. Do you see a pattern over here? On any given day, students are fighting, cursing, cheating, yelling, and hitting their teachers and each other. It's just impossible to control these children. There is nothing in the public education system that can put a stop to this either. Even if they get an extensive paper trail of verbal and written warnings, they will keep doing what they do.
This first year teacher, she had a principal similar to your principal that she just was like, he is like really out to get me.
Right.
And he came in to observe her, and during her observation, a fight broke out in the boys' bathroom. Now, I think she taught sixth grade, and it was a seventh grade class, or it was a group of seventh grade boys. And she was like, I'm like 5'2 and like 120
right.
pounds.
Right.
And she was like, so instead of like, you know, going out there to break up the fight, the principal was just sitting there like taking notes and like writing down stuff.
Instead of going
to help. And she said that she did what she thought she was supposed to do. She kept her 30 kids in her class seated and calm so that they wouldn't exacerbate the situation.
Right.
And when she got her review for her observation, he told her that she like didn't do good on her observation because she didn't go break up that fight.
The thing is, school principals aren't exactly doing anything to change things. They don't even try to enforce any kind of control on these children. That's because there's a lot of fear going on in the public education system. But the only ones who are not afraid are the students. What further complicates things is that parents are complicit in their children's misbehavior. When their child acts out in school, they like to blame it on the teacher for making their child angry. There are always those parents who, the moment their little munchkin faces the slightest inconvenience in school, they immediately threaten to take legal action.
You need to go speak to this irate mother. You two stay here. You need to back up. You need to back up. What seems to be the issue?
You are the problem, ma'am. You pulled my son out of class, sat in there for 5 hours.
First of all, ma'am. First of all, ma'am.
And missed
every. I told him he could make up.
You do not need to be yelling at me.
You need to go back to principal school to learn how to be a correct principal.
Stop.
I gave Patrick West and Chelsea the key to break into the school.
Patrick!
While other parents might seem to want to get the child to behave, many lack the tenacity to follow through with actual discipline. But parents need to understand that teachers are there to teach their children and help them progress in life, not manage emotional or behavioral disorders. Teachers can keep the parents aware of their child's positive and negative behavior. But teaching these kids the right skills to deal with their behavior and learn to respect authority comes from home. There is no longer any respect taught or learned. Unfortunately, because teachers are under so much pressure to do better, they bend over backward just to be a friendly type of person and try to de-escalate a situation. And the line between children and adults has been blurred to a point where it is almost non-existent.
I'm calling out all the parents. If you're a parent and your child is in pre-K to elementary school to high school, I'm calling you out. The children today, I have never experienced, and I'm 22. Having to teach and work with you guys as children has been the most traumatic experience of my life. You confront the parent tries to argue with you and fuss at you because you tried to reprimand and redirect their kid.
This, to me, is a cultural issue. Parents are out here thinking that the public school system is some type of daycare where they can leave their children, pick them up, and have nothing else to do. Children wouldn't behave this way if their parents didn't allow it to happen. Instead, we see parents actually being afraid to discipline their children. They are afraid of hurting the child's feelings or them throwing tantrums. They are afraid their kids won't like them anymore. Because as soon as the parent tries to control the child, the child will scream abuse. They are causing a scene everywhere they go. People just can't seem to find the balance between being a parent and a good friend to their children. They think it has to be one or the other. We can see many cases of parents just staring at their phones while their children jump up and down the seats in the middle of a plane, bus, or clothing store. So the kids obviously copy their parents and face little to no consequences for acting disrespectfully in public. They scream and cry in school hallways, and parents don't do anything to get their children under control. Instead, they are looking to shift the blame. Well, there is one explanation as to why parents don't provide discipline, and that is pure laziness. Discipline takes work, but it is easier to give up than to keep trying every single day, especially if the parent works two jobs and has all these other responsibilities to take care of. The worst kids to deal with are often those who have two working parents or come from single-parent households. The best-behaved ones tend to be from families that have a stay-at-home parent. When both parents are working, or a single mother or father has to work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, it is normal for them to spend limited time with their children. But that doesn't make the lack of discipline justifiable. The primary reason why discipline in school has basically deteriorated is because learning isn't valued. Kids nowadays think they can find anything they want on the internet. They can also use stuff like ChatGPT to cheat on tests, so they feel that studying is meaningless. Many students believe that everything is pointless. Writing is pointless, math is pointless, history is pointless. Some can read, others can't. That's right, there are a whole bunch of school-aged children who can't even read. Literacy rates and math scores among 13-year-olds have fallen to record low levels in decades. Millennials have been shoving iPads in their children's faces since these kids could scroll on that screen. Gen Alpha has been exposed to so much media, so much TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, that they have zero imagination and creativity. You can literally see a 2-year-old with an iPad at the dinner table. This kid who hasn't even learned to feed themselves has mastered zooming, scrolling, and pushing buttons.
But you don't sit there and spend quality time with your kids. You say, here's food, and leave.
I mean, the tablet works just fine. They can just eat and watch the tablet. Like, why is that a problem?
Because.
So you want to raise a child off of a tablet? You think that's
okay? I mean,
okay?
They have educational stuff. I don't see what's wrong with it. Like, I need to go to sleep at some point in time.
When these children go to a restaurant, the first thing parents do is give them an iPad. Like, can't you get your child to behave for an hour or two? Can't you give them a little bit of attention and actually talk to these children? Why do you use an iPad to shut them up? Is there nothing else you can do? While it is completely understandable for exhausted and stressed out parents to satisfy that desperate need for a moment's peace, but look at it this way. Where will these kids be 10 to 20 years from now when they face actual problems in real life that require critical thinking skills? What will happen when you can't hide behind a screen? Metaverse is shaping the world as we know it, and the digital world already consumes these children to a point where games, streams, and concerts are becoming their only reality. Based on a recent study, almost 80% of children have access to a tablet or iPad. Nowadays, it's weirder for a kid to be offline than constantly online. These children have extreme social issues and little to no mannerisms. The screens are used as babysitters and to make kids stay quiet. The child doesn't engage or play with the world around them. They are not included in other people's conversations. In other words, the child doesn't learn the basic skills to regulate their emotions, contain themselves, or be patient. Anything that doesn't go their way easily frustrates them. And without that device, the child doesn't know how to cope with difficult problems. The more time these children spend in front of their screens, the more short-sighted they become. Children as young as 2 to 3 years learn to play on an iPad, but fail to develop their visual spatial awareness and fine motor skills. They become so accustomed to the 2D that the real world feels downright overwhelming. The thing is, problems at the dinner table, restaurants, or schools are just the tip of the iceberg. Plenty of research shows that smart devices give these children easy access to X-rated content. I'm not just talking about porn. I'm talking about disturbing violence that these children shouldn't even know exists. I mean, do you know how easy it is for these children to mature into full-blown gambling or drug addicts? Cyberbullying is at an all-time high. About 46% of American teenagers have been harassed online, usually about the way they look or act among their peers. But it is also super easy for students to spread false rumors and exploit people with explicit images. At the end of the day, it is not the screen causing the problem. It is what the children and teenagers do with it that counts. This kind of behavior reflects itself in the classroom. Children hate sitting still without any form of entertainment and having to listen to authority. They get agitated very fast and prefer to scroll on their phones all day. I get it. Social media, games, and videos are the only coping mechanisms these children got. Distraction is their only form of self-discipline. And the phones and tablets are the only tools they know how to use to solve their problem. By solve, I mean escape from the need to express themselves or communicate their emotions like a normal person. Yes, phones can be useful when you are watching tutorials or documentaries. But if the student does whatever they want, whenever they want it, they give zero attention to their schoolwork. This in turn causes them to have no respect for their teachers. Look at it this way. If there is nothing that school can give me, then there is no point for me to care. The lack of motivation, concentration, focus, and productivity can have a huge impact on their life later on. In the meantime, teachers are being overworked, overstressed, and generally ill-equipped to deal with this out-of-control generation. They have to file a mountain of paperwork, clock up to 50 hours a week for little pay, do reports, and non-teaching activities. Pair that with constant verbal abuse from both students and parents, and it's no wonder why teachers are going to resign and never come back.
Yesterday after school, I resigned. I put my keys on my desk, I put my badge on my desk, and then I walked out, I got in my car, and I drove away. And I'm really grateful that I made that decision because no job is worth your mental and physical health. I have never before this year been sick at school as a teacher. I've never gotten sick at school. And this year, I've been sick at school. The stress is too much, and it's okay to walk away. The stuff that teachers are asked to do, the way that we're treated by parents, by admin, just by the school system in general, it's not right. We need to do better.
There's a lot of things that as a teacher I put up with, right? And yeah. I had a really overwhelming day at school, and I got home and I was talking to my husband about it, and he's like, Tell, what is wrong with your arm? And this student had just completely scratched up my arm, and I was like, I'm done.
That's what's wrong with my arm.
And it was so easy. I taught full time for almost 10 years, and my 10th year is now subbing. I was devastated. So I remember going in, it was the easiest decision. I was like, I'm burnt out. That was like the moment, but I loved that kid was the hard thing too, because I could sit there as I didn't realize he was hurting me because I know he was in crisis. Mm-hmm. And then I got home and I was like, oh my God.
We can see why these children can't behave properly. But the question is, why do they have trouble writing and reading? According to Kate Wynn, a teacher from Ontario with over 20 years experience, more kindergartners have entered school with language and speech difficulties than they did before the pandemic. Some of it has to do with the fact that children had to switch to online learning. It was a new experience for everyone. Teachers and students didn't have enough face-to-face interactions during some of the most crucial periods of a child's development. Remote learning made it difficult to instruct these children. It gave students too much freedom and comfort that it was easy to slack off. When classes ended, children got back to watching endless YouTube videos and scrolling through social media feeds, which left little room for engagement and focused attention. To be honest, this world is saturated with surface-level content.
Je.
Ma.
Ma.
Pelle.
Pelle.
Great. Okay, faster. Je.
Ma.
Ma.
Pelle.
Pelle.
Je m'appelle.
Mi poupou.
There is no need for rational thinking, analyzing, or questioning complex topics. Everything is so simple and easy to understand that children don't even bother to delve deeper, pick up a book, or learn something new. The thing is, people who want to become teachers usually enter this profession because they want to make a change. They spend years getting a bachelor's degree, getting a certification to teach, and working in classrooms of 20, 30, or 40 students. But now we see a massive teacher shortage across the country. Just look at the statistics. Teachers soon realize that ever-changing initiatives, unrealistic expectations, lack of support, and limited growth opportunities drain them. It just adds up. Stress and burnout are an everyday problem. One survey shows that about 50% of teachers have thought about quitting because they have no policy changes supporting them to do their jobs. Like, have you ever seen the actual workload of a teacher? They spend their weekends and nights planning lessons, grading assignments, and answering emails outside of their work hours. They arrive early to set up the lessons and stay up late to grade the tests. They work 54 hours a week on average. if there's a basketball game at night or a teacher-parent conference, it makes for a long day. They spend most of their evenings on paperwork. Then there are school events and PTA meetings. Well, to be honest, teaching is really two jobs. During the day, your job is to deliver instructions. The rest happens outside, like grading, planning, and figuring out mountains of data. Once you go home for the day, you have more work to do. And for what? For $57,800 a year? Keep in mind that more than 55% of teachers have a post-baccalaureate degree. Despite it all, they are expected to spend more than $500 on out-of-pocket expenses like binders, notebooks, pencils, organizing bins, crayons, and so much more. Take a look at these statistics for the 2022 to 2023 school year. The maximum expense deduction is usually $300, but teachers are actually spending $820 on books, software, school supplies like pens and paper, food and snacks, prizes, classroom decor, and cleaning supplies. The reason why teachers spend so much money on things like these is because they are critical to making students feel comfortable and more motivated to learn. Creativity boosts engagement, especially among the younger generation. They see it as a kind of tithing where they give back to the kids they care about. But this kind of spending can take a toll, because who wouldn't want to save that money for their vacations, family, or other stuff? So teachers are expected to carefully plan every purchase and justify every item to their principals. Even though it sounds reasonable in theory, it is exhausting, frustrating, and annoying for teachers. So they prefer to use their own funds. Think about it. If you can choose between spending $30 of your own money and have it delivered in 2 to 3 days, or spending $100 of the school's money and having it delivered who knows when, which one would you pick? If these responsibilities and expectations keep piling up without any changes in respect, policies, or support, teachers will keep walking out. Toxic teaching environments are the new standard right now. Parents, students, co-workers, and the administration are constantly harassing these teachers. 20 to 30 years ago, teachers were valued as experts in their field. Today, they have no freedom or authority, no proper funding, and absolutely no respect. In a school setting, there are only a couple of options for a teacher to advance into exciting and new roles. While some leave the classroom for TOSA, administration, or curriculum specialist positions, most are stuck in this career standstill. As time passes, they don't have the drive to work on their skill sets. The opportunities to work in administration tend to be unrelatable and stale. So when they have to deal with these out-of-control children and their overbearing parents, we can see why quitting is the easy way out. Let me be honest for a moment. There is absolutely nothing wrong with changing your career and trying something new. But when you see hundreds and thousands of people leaving the profession, even though it was something they loved to do, that is a red flag. A while back, Chalkbeat did a survey on why teachers are leaving in droves. They talked with 80 different teachers. Here is what some of them said. Samantha Certain, who has been a social studies teacher for 5 years, said that she has a master's degree and is living paycheck to paycheck. There have been many times when she didn't receive the payment on time. Posting lessons in politics about critical race theory have gotten out of hand. Her poor mental health has hit a breaking point. She quit in 2022. Ingrid Fournier retired that same year. She worked as a teacher for 25 years. She explained that ever since the recession hit in 2008, there has been little support in Michigan for the public school system. Class sizes got bigger, while benefits and pay have drastically declined. There is no support, but the workload keeps increasing. There is no sense of community and a lot of physical and mental challenges to deal with. Jen McLean shares these views. She explained that the pandemic had a huge impact on the younger generation. And even though it gave the school system a chance to innovate and reevaluate things, it ended up increasing the workload. Children became more glued to their screens instead of trying to improve themselves. Another teacher stated, they decided to quit because teaching just didn't make them happy. They started teaching because they loved the work. They wanted to work with children and help them grow so that they could have a better life. But it turns out, the field they put their heart and soul into gives nothing back. Teachers realize that they have little to no power over their students or anything happening in the classroom. Everyone who is on top, including the parents, is trying to make all the rules. If no one is treating teachers like professionals, then it is normal for new teachers not to even want to pursue that kind of career. I mean, who wants to drown in debt from student loans when they can't make a decent living from the job they work so hard to get? It is like the entire energy of the school has changed. So, how can we improve things? The greatest thing you can teach your child is how to think for themselves. That's exactly why we made our new bundle, Unlocked Minds. It includes multiple ebooks breaking down our real history, some traps that keep us stuck in the system, and how we can build real wealth and power. Schools will never teach us this. It's up to us. Click the link in our description to grab yours now for 80% off before it's too late. Each order will go back into bringing you more high-quality documentaries. Thank you for the support. If the National Education Association advocates for change, streamlining this system nationwide would make a huge difference. But it is also important for parents and students to care enough to make a change. First off, teachers need higher wages. They also need better reimbursement and easier access to school funds to get the necessary school supplies. Secondly, we need to show more respect for the profession. It is just not okay for parents to bash these teachers. This behavior tells us a lot about how we function as a society. Many people are treating educators like second-class citizens, while in fact, they should be treating them as pillars of society. Parents shouldn't enable their children to misbehave. They need to hold them accountable and teach them how to behave. It's important to stop making excuses for these children and trust that teachers are there to show them how to become productive members of society. For one, if you keep bailing your child out of every difficult situation, they will grow up thinking you will always be there to bail them out later. When AI came into the picture, it became more evident that old school teaching methods no longer work. Children need to learn valuable skills that will prepare them for the workforce. They need self-awareness and overreaching aptitudes such as social intelligence, self-development, creativity, resilience, and openness. Meta skills and metacognition can be taught. These are all things that the young generation is currently lacking. Unfortunately, students are stuck in this narrow and bleak instrumentalism we must overcome. We need to teach these children empathy, responsibility, adaptability, and curiosity if they want to stand a chance against AI. In that sense, the education system should help these teachers create a more proactive and hands-on experience. And for crying out loud, enforce consequences. We can't be letting these children take complete control of the world around them just because they can throw a tantrum. The school should be able to punish the bad and praise the good. And for all the rebels out there, maybe other strategies can work. For example, make school relevant and interesting with various practical and academic lessons. Ensure that energetic and confident children get a chance to express themselves, let loners be loners, and offer different activities for kids to find their true talents. For teachers to be able to dedicate more time to these children, it is important to remove all the unnecessary paperwork and training. The less bureaucratic stuff there is to do, the better. I get it. Data is necessary to analyze student behavior and see where the students are heading and how the professor is doing. But students are more than just data. They are people, individuals with different mindsets, wants, and needs. They have their own problems to deal with and hurdles to overcome. If a student starts breaking things or fighting teachers, then more needs to be done from an administrative standpoint. For example, parents should be held accountable. Distance learning could be offered, and better mental health treatment may be advised. For children who are still in kindergarten, we should bring back play-based learning. Children need to foster their creativity, imagination, and playfulness. Kids need to be kids. We can't expect them to sit an entire day and follow instructions from a textbook. When we give children the chance to explore their youth, they can spend that extra energy and enjoy the process. Instead, we see children in the first grade having to write a bunch of homework. Why do we expect so much from them at such a young age? Besides, teachers are wasting so much time on preparing and grading tests. This time could be better spent on interactive learning activities. Tests are important. I get that. Teachers need to analyze a student's knowledge on a particular topic to see whether that student fully understands a concept, how they apply it, and whether they are ready to step to the next level. But do we really need that many tests? Certainly, having a ton of tests can be highly counterproductive. There is no need for all this micromanagement. Trust that teachers have the skills and knowledge to train these children. There is no need to look over their shoulders and call them out on the tiniest mistakes they make. The curriculum and educational policies also need to change. Districts are changing the curricula nonstop, but they have no idea how the real world works. When there are education policies to be made, it is important to consider a teacher's perspective. One educator said, Teachers are the ones who see the needs in the classroom, but they are probably the least consulted when it comes to policy decisions. These children are learning from huge textbooks without paying any attention to their mental well-being. For a teacher to be able to focus on these students and give each of them the attention they need, it is critical to reduce the class sizes. If we transform the education sector and start respecting and valuing all the effort these teachers put into classes, we can create an environment suitable for everyone. Recently, we've seen a lot of teachers who advocate for changes in the public school system. They have seen firsthand what students have to deal with, especially from low-income families. No matter who you are or where you come from, if you have decided to be a teacher, you probably did it for one reason: the love for the job. There are many people who have always wanted to be educators. You are a teacher by choice. Teaching requires emotional intelligence, knowledge, patience, resilience, creativity, and technique. But with the way things are going right now, I can't imagine many young people wanting to work in this profession. The youth have hated school for as long as I can remember. But now the youth sees no meaning in it and has become rebellious to an unprecedented scale. Many are disrespecting their teachers because they can get away with it. They start to feel bored with school and want to become famous YouTubers and influencers or get into dropshipping. What do you guys think needs to be done to change this? Let me know in the comments. I'll see you in the next video.